Now, I suppose the first question for me to ask is, can everybody hear me? That would be the most important thing to ask. Can everybody hear me up the back? That's okay. Right, we're okay. There wouldn't be, it would be nothing worse than going through this and then someone coming up and saying, I didn't hear a word of it. So, that's fine. The listening ear is really the title that I've put over this one this afternoon. We have the PowerPoint here, and we've got it here really just point of illustration, and what I want to do is not only use the PowerPoint to illustrate, but just use a couple of experiences that I have in my daily work, just to help to illustrate some things. But most importantly of all, I want to turn to the Bible. I want to turn to God's Word. First of all, just before we go any further, and I want to look in Mark chapter 7, and we're just going to read a few verses there, and then we'll move on. Mark chapter 7 and verse number 31. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. We'll just try and read it as clearly as possible. Verse 31, again, departing from the region, that's the Lord Jesus, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat on the tongue. He spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately, his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. And the Lord will bless the reading of His word to us. Just not too long ago, Rachel will cringe at her name being mentioned, but Rachel was suffering from a bit of a throat infection, a slight cold, and she was standing in the front room saying that her ears were sore. And me being the, a very compassionate father, I gave her some advice and said, well, I think you should just get yourself off the bed and you'll be fine in the morning. And if it gets really sore, just a couple of paracetamol and all will be well. And that was the length as to which I went to comfort her that night. Caris was also in the room that night, and she was listening away in the background, as she usually does, listening to everything that's going on. And Rachel disappeared, and Caris said, well, it's just as well we've got the right kind of daddy, because he fixes ears. And I thought that was rather sweet that she said that, and rather nice. And I thought, I think I prefer that definition as to what I do in life, than the fancy titles that they give me as an audiologist and so on. Someone who strives to fix his ears. And between myself and my colleagues, I work across in Edinburgh, and that's what we strive to do with children. We strive to fix their ears a little bit and try and get them to hear just a little bit more. Many people ask us lots of questions about our job. And there's really one question that quite often comes up, and it's this one here. If you were to ask me one thing that you would want to do to really help these children that have lost hearing completely, what would it be? What would it be? And I think my reply, along with my colleague's reply, would quite simply be this: to make them hear again. To make them hear again. But there's something more to that: to make them hear again naturally. It would be lovely to take all these children that come into us and be able to just sit them down in front of us, and within a few sessions or so on, we can make them hear naturally, but we can't do that. We can hook them up to all kinds of wires and computers. We can take all kinds of measurements and do lots of scientific tests, and we can help them to hear, but it's really quite a mechanical sound, a robotic sound. We will never get that natural hearing back because we simply cannot do that, and there's not an ear fixer in the land that can do that at all, and I don't think there ever will be. But the interesting thing is, quite simply this, that it has been done. It has been done. And we've read a passage in the Bible there in Mark chapter 7 about the man who came to the Lord Jesus, who came to meet this man, and he put his fingers in his ears, and his ears were opened. It's a lovely phrase, that, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And his ears were opened. And it really must have been a tremendous occasion. I would love to have been there just to see it, just to experience it and see how it all happened and see the reaction in the man's face when suddenly he was able to hear naturally again. And of course, it was the Lord Jesus that made him to do that. So I'm always interested in these kind of stories. In fact, when we look through the Bible, it is rather interesting because if we take the word hear, we can realize that it's spoken about 469 times. If we take the word heard, 611, 109 times for the word ear, ears is 83, and listen is 103 times. So the Bible has a lot to say about hearing. The Bible has a lot to say about listening and about what we should do, how we should respond if we have heard something. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to go through all these references tonight. We would never get our tea. But one thing I do want to do is just think about the subject of hearing a little bit. And I'm going to take a couple of instances just from my job because several things that I do in my job, well, it reminds me of things that are said in the Bible. It reminds me of things that are said in amongst all these numbers there. But more importantly than that, what I want to do tonight, or what I want us to really think about tonight, we've already been singing about it and thinking about it, is that we see behind all this, and we put this aside as it were, but we hear God's voice. We hear God's voice. And that's the purpose, really, of our coming together this afternoon, isn't it? That we listen for God's voice, and we listen to what he has to say, and we listen for the message that he has to put, or he wants to put across to us. Anybody that stands on a platform here is simply but a mouthpiece. That's all we are, just proclaiming the good news of the word of God. Now, one of the things that I do in my job is this. It's called, we call it anyway, the history take. And what we have to do is we have to basically get to know the child that is in front of us. And we do that by asking a whole series of questions. So we go down our list, and quite often the mums and the dads and the children will tell us all kinds of answers to these questions, and that will lead us on to more questions and more questions, and there's rather a lot of questions. But the purpose of the questions really is so that I can find out what is going on. I get to know the child, and I'm almost examining the child just by asking questions, and I'm beginning to home in on what the problem is. If I know what the problem is, then we can go on further, and we know how to treat that person. So it's getting to know the person. It's getting to know the workings. It's getting to know what's going on inside. It's getting to know what's going on in here. And we really have to dig quite deep sometimes. And every time I do the history take, well, I'm always reminded of this wonderful fact, and it's related to God's word. And it's quite simply this. It's a lovely verse. It's one of my favourite verses. I know you shouldn't have favourite verses, but this is one of my favourite verses. It says quite simply this. It's see it on the screen. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You have searched me, and you know me. Now, when I'm sitting in front of a child and the parents and so on, I'm searching out that child in order to get to know them, in order to get to know the problem. But put that aside and just make the link across to the Bible and read this lovely verse and realize that God knows. He searches us, and he knows every single thing about us. Isn't that wonderful? That there is someone who knows every single thing about us. Even our darkest, most kept secrets, the Lord God knows everything about us. He knows all the worries in your life. He knows all the difficult situations that you find in life. He knows if you're poorly. He knows if you're sick. He knows if you're struggling through the day. He knows every single thing about us. He knows what we've said to our neighbours and how we've reacted to a difficult situation. He knows the very thoughts in our head, and he knows the very hairs on our head. He knows absolutely everything about us, and he should know everything about us, because he is the one that created us. He is the one that made us. We're all made by him. And he knows us tonight. He knows us. You know, there's an interesting fact that came out not too long ago, a few weeks ago. And it was all about the fact that in Britain today there are so many, I can't remember the number, but there are so many people, and they are classed as lonely. And they live this kind of separate life, as it were, and they are alone and lonely. And it was quite a shocking figure. I was quite surprised by it myself. Isn't it wonderful tonight to think that we've got a God in heaven There's a God in heaven, the very God of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he comes to us this afternoon and he says, I have searched you and I know you. I know you. Isn't that marvellous? I know you. I don't know if the Queen could say that about me, that she knows me. I don't know if any other high-ranking figure in the land could come up to me and say, Johnny, I know everything about you. But the very God of heaven can draw alongside this afternoon and he can say that. He can say, I know everything about you. I know everything about you. Now, here's one of the conditions that we deal with on a daily basis in the work. And I'm pretty sure many of you have heard of this condition, glue ear. If you're at all squeamish, look away on the next slide. Fraser, you maybe want to look away now, because that's a typical picture. It's okay, it's not coming very good. Of an eardrum. Now, that's something that I see on a daily basis. And the thing with this eardrum is, I don't know if you can see it actually, but there's kind of here, 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 and down here. There's a bit of bubbling. This white line going up here. That's the little malleus bone. That shouldn't be like that either. So that's an eardrum that's in a bit of trouble, I'm afraid, because it's got a bit of glue here. Now, I'll move that on just in case anybody is not really wanting to see that. But that's something that I look for each and every day, and that's something that we come across each and every day, especially in children. And the point is quite simply this. What causes glue here? Well, it's congestion. It's a build-up of something that's inside the hearing system that shouldn't actually be there. It shouldn't actually be there, but it is, and it's causing a lot of problems. And we do these tests, one's called otoscopy and one's called tympanometry, where I would look inside the ears and do another little test, and some of the children here have actually had it done to them. They'll know what I'm speaking about when we shine the wee torch in the ears and so on. And it tells me if there's anything there that shouldn't be there. So that's my first kind of test, visual test, as it were. And when you look inside, sometimes you see a bit of redness. Sometimes you see a bit of, a problem that, just shouldn't be there. So there's maybe a cut or an abrasion or something like that. Or there's bubbling on the eardrum, and you know fine what you're going to meet at the next test that you do. And these things are things that quite simply shouldn't be there. And then, of course, you have the other things. I think the last thing that I looked in and saw was an M&M, which was in the child's ear. And there's many more Lego pieces, bits of paper, and all kinds of things. But things that are in the system that shouldn't be there. Do you know the Bible tells us about that? Not specifically to do with the ear, but to do with our lives. The Bible tells us about something that comes into our lives that shouldn't be there. It just shouldn't be there. But it's in our lives, and it's there, and we need to deal with it. Now, there's an interesting verse in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, and it says quite simply this: just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, why put a verse like that up and a talk like this? Well, quite simply this. The Bible tells us that sin has come into the world. The Bible tells us that just as through one man, that was Adam way back in the Garden of Eden, you remember that story, just as through one man sin entered in, so remember how Adam and Eve, how they fell in the garden, they disobeyed God, and so sin came in through the world. But it tells us another interesting thing here. It tells us, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. Now, if there's one certainty in life, and if there's one surety in life, it's that each and every one of us, one day, will meet an end, and we're all going to die. It's not a very pleasant thing, but it's a fact none the same, a fact of life as we would call it. So we know that we've all sinned. And you just need to look at a toddler, a little baby even, and you soon find out that, there's sin in the life of that child. You don't need to teach them, or you don't need to tell them how to do wrong. They just do it. But the amazing thing is that even though they do it, the reaction afterwards is a look on their face which tells, I know I've done something wrong. I know I've done something wrong. You see, it's within us. It's inbuilt within us. And that sin, from the day that we're born, from the minute that we're born, it's within us, it's within our system, and it shouldn't be there, but it is there, and it's clogging up the system, as it were. You know, when we look inside and we see the congestion in a child's ear, the child usually can't hear as well. It brings their hearing down. The glue ear brings the hearing down. And they can't hear their parents and they can't hear the instructions, and they can't hear when to tidy the room, and all these kind of things. They just can't hear as well at all. And God looks down upon our lives and he sees the congestion that sin causes in our lives. He looks down upon our lives and he sees the congestion that's within our hearts, this sin that we're born with. And God hates the sin. He cannot tolerate the sin. The beautiful thing is, and the old preachers used to say this, that God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. And we have to have that problem of sin dealt with in our lives. Otherwise, we're not going to have access into heaven. So what do we do? What do we do? We'll come on to that. But God looks down from heaven and he sees the sin that's in our lives. I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17. It's another beautiful verse, isn't it? Not only does he look down upon us and he searches us and he knows us, but he goes a step further here and he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. The heart. You know, I could probably ask you lots of questions tonight, just like what we were talking about earlier, and I could pick up a picture as to, you know, who you are and what you do and the kind of things that you're interested in and so on, but I couldn't really tell you what's in your heart. I couldn't really tell you for sure what is in the pockets of your heart. But God can look down from heaven tonight and he looks upon each and every one of our lives and he searches every one of our hearts. Every one of our hearts. Isn't that amazing? And he knows what's in every one of our hearts. The deepest, darkest pockets. The deepest, darkest places that you've maybe never made known to anyone. But God searches his light into your dark heart and he sees it. And he knows it. And it's there. And we can't get away from it. It's a sin that's within our lives, that's congesting us, that's blocking us, that's keeping us away from the things of God, that's keeping us out of heaven. And so we need to have something to do. We need to do something to get that problem resolved. I, the Lord, search the heart. Keep that in mind. Now, this is a very quick slide. It's really another test that we do, and it's called the Pure Tone Audiogram. And rather than put a picture, it's not come out very well at all. But it's basically when we pop on the headphones and we simply say, press the button when you hear the beep. And we try and work out just where they are hearing. And we try and work out the responses and how the child is responding to hearing. So are they hearing? What level are they hearing? And how are they responding to it? What's the word of God say? Well, interesting phrase here that is mentioned. In fact, this phrase is mentioned six times in the Gospels. And I think it's mentioned in Revelation as well. And it's the same phrase each time. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if you were just to take that verse off the screen, as it were, and just kind of tease it out, you think, well, that's pretty simple. You know, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it is pretty profound. It is pretty simple. Why does the Lord say it? And why does he say it six times over? Same phrase. Doesn't change it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, quite often when we are testing some children, they'll sit and they press the button whenever they hear the beep. And some children are very eager and very keen, and all they want to do is press the button just to please you. And some children, well, they're very shy at pressing the button. And some children just don't want to press the button at all, and they'll just fold their arms and do nothing. Some children, what they do is they hear it, and it's blatantly obvious that they do hear it, but they choose not to do anything at all. They just choose not to do anything at all. And what they're trying to tell us is, well, we can't hear that. I can't hear that level of sound. I can't hear that frequency. I can't hear that pitch, that tone. I can't hear it. I can't hear it. And we know that they're kidding us on because there's other tests that we can do just to kind of catch them out. But it's always interesting when you get a child that does that. Many children are like that. Many people are like that. They hear, but actually they choose not to hear. They do actually hear the words, but they choose not to hear the words. And it's just like that for you and I. And it's just like that in terms of God's voice speaking to us. Many of us will hear God's voice. I put it to you this afternoon that it's God's voice that's speaking. I'm just a mouthpiece. It's not really me, but it's God's voice. And so that leaves us with That leaves us with something that we need to do. That leaves us with a decision, as it were. That leaves us with some kind of responsibility. I'm hearing the voice, but what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to choose not to hear it? I wonder what you are tonight, or this afternoon, should I say. You hear God's voice. Do you respond to that? See, responses are all very important. Just by our actions, we choose what our response is going to be. So if we choose not to hear, if we choose just to turn our backs, or if we choose to close our ears, then we're turning our back on God. But if we choose to listen, then we're turning to God. There's a lovely verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16, isn't there? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse has been spoken about countless times. It's been spoken about in gospel meetings just like this, just that one verse. But that little phrase that's underlined there, whoever believes in him, that I would suggest is the response that we need to make. That's the response that we need to make this afternoon, that we need to believe in the Lord Jesus. What do we need to believe about the Lord Jesus? It's fine saying, oh yes, I believe there's a God, I believe in the Lord Jesus, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Yep, that's fine. There's people like that I know. And if you say to them, is there a God? Yes. Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son? Yes. But they're not bound for heaven. And they're not going to heaven. Because it's something more than that. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look at Calvary. We need to look at the three crosses that were there. And we need to realize that this sin problem that was in our lives, it had to be dealt with. There had to be some kind of plan that came up. And God came up with that plan. He sent his Son into the world. He came to the cross. He was born in the manger at Bethlehem. We're going to be thinking about that in a few weeks' time, aren't we? And he went from the manger, the wooden manger, all the way to the wooden cross, the old rugged cross. And there he died on that cross. And God let his Son die on that middle cross. And God put on him the punishment that should have been ours. The punishment that we should have taken. We're the ones that have sinned. We're the ones that have done wrong. We're the ones that have gone astray. But God looks down upon you and I tonight, this afternoon, and he says, you know what? I love you too much for that. I love you too much for that. I love you so much that I'm not going to let you take the punishment. My Son's taking the punishment for you. I sent him to die for you. And he's taking the punishment for you. It's all been done. And it's all been done at Calvary. And what we need to do is we need to believe. We need to look at Calvary and we need to see the Lord Jesus Christ dying there for our sins. And we need to realize that he died there for our sins. And that by believing in him, by trusting in him, by asking him into our lives and our hearts, then we too can be saved. And we can be bound for heaven. And he will do that. He will take us to heaven. And he's asking us just to listen to those words. Just to listen to those words. Just to let those words sink in through our ears and go up to our brains. And just to think about these things and think about his Son and what he has done. Our response is so vitally important as to what we will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, are we really listening? Are we listening for his voice? And if we are listening for God's voice, and if we're hearing God's voice, are we responding to God's voice? Now, speaking of voice, many times when we do this simple audiogram, so we say press the button when you hear the beep and so on, that's all fine and well. But what we want to know about is we want to know how well a child is responding to speech. Okay, because in a word, well, a word is far more complicated than a beep. Okay, so there's far more frequencies and pitches and tones and so on. So we want to know how their speech reception is. And sometimes for the little toddlers that are around, that's a very, very hard thing to do. And this is a very simple little test, and it was thought up by a man whose, funnily, his name was Ling. And he came up with these sounds, six sounds, and I'm not going to go into the details of the test as to how exactly we do it, but each of those sounds he worked out are the common sounds that are used in speech, in everyday language, okay? And we can correspond these sounds, we can correspond these sounds to certain frequencies of our hearing, okay? So it all kind of ties in, and we play this little game with the little toddlers. And we can turn around after that and we can say how well they're responding not only to beeps, but to voice, to human voice. So we can work out how they are receiving the voice, and we can work out how they are responding to receiving that voice. Okay, and that's what we do. What about God's voice? Can they discriminate the voice? That's what we are trying to see. Can we discriminate God's voice? You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about this question in relation to this meeting. And actually, the challenge came to me. Can I discriminate God's voice? And maybe this applies not only to... I think this applies to every one of us in the meeting this afternoon. Can we discriminate God's voice? In all the things that are going on in life, can we actually pick out God's voice? Can we actually recognize God's voice? And can we actually recognize what God is saying to us? How do we respond to that voice as well? Revelation, we were just talking about this just before the meeting. We've been thinking about this a wee bit this morning as well in the meeting. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, says the Lord Jesus. A beautiful verse that's found in Revelation chapter 3. And verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. I think that's beautiful. I think that's absolutely lovely. The very God of heaven. And what he's quite simply saying to us this afternoon through that verse is this: if you respond to my voice, if you hear my voice and you respond to my voice, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. I'll dine with you. I will be with you, the very God of heaven. And he's promised that if we hear his voice, he will come into our lives and he will abide with us. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that lovely? And that's a promise that he has made. And that's a promise that I'm sure that most of us could stand up in a meeting this afternoon and say, absolutely, that is true. And I can say that from this platform tonight. Absolutely, that has been true. That is true. And he's with me. And he dines with me, and he sups with me every day that I live, because I've responded to his voice. I wonder if you've responded to his voice. You know, there was a... There was this famous painting. Now, the name of the painter has actually escaped me just now. Somebody could... Alban Hunt. There we go. Thank you. He came up with this painting, and from what I can understand, it was on display in London, I think it was. It was on display in London at one point. And it's a picture of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Basically, what he did was he took that Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and he painted it. And I think he's done a very good job of it. And it's a picture of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, and he's knocking on the door. And one day there was some people in at the gallery, and they were looking at these paintings, and they came into this painting. And as they are standing looking at this painting, someone remarked from the crowd that it was a marvelous painting and so on. But they remarked quite simply this, that the door doesn't have a handle. The door doesn't have a handle on it. Now, every door that you see has a handle on it. Every door in here has a handle on it. But this door doesn't have a handle on it. And he pointed this out to the painter, and the reply was something along these lines: well, it's not meant to have a handle on it. It's not a mistake. It's not that I've forgotten to put the handle in. It's quite simply this. You see, that door is the heart's door. That's the heart's door. And that's the Saviour, and he's knocking on the heart's door. And the heart's door can only be opened from the inside. From the inside. You know, I heard somebody put it like this, that the Lord Jesus, you know, he is the most perfect gentleman you will ever meet. The most perfect gentleman you will ever meet. He will never barge his way into your life. He will never push his way into your life. He will never come running into your life with great force. He stands at the door and is an absolute gentleman. He knocks and he waits. He waits. Maybe this afternoon he's knocking at your heart's door. Maybe you are hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus, and maybe he's standing knocking at your heart's door. And the knocking's there, and you can hear it. And you can hear it. The question is what you will do with it, because the Lord Jesus isn't going to open that heart's door You have to open it. And you have to get up, and you have to open the door, and you have to ask him. And you see, there is something that we need to do. We do. We need to open up our heart's door and let the Lord Jesus in. But you know, when you read these verses, when you read that beautiful verse in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, if you read a little bit further on in the scriptures, you read it doesn't make so pleasant reading. Because what it implies is quite simply this, that one day, you know, one day that knocking is going to stop. It's going to stop. And maybe, just maybe, you'll get up and open the door and the Savior will have moved on. And your chance will be gone. You can't be too old, you can't be too young, but you can be too late. You can be too late. And oh, this afternoon, that each and every one of us would respond to God's voice and open up our heart's door and ask him into our lives. Ask him to forgive us from our sins and make him Lord and Savior of each and every one of our lives. But you know, this morning I woke up and I was thinking about this verse, and I had a bit of a search to find it, but we got it in the end, thanks to William. God has a listening ear. We're thinking about the listening ear, aren't we? And we've been thinking about how we listen to God's voice and how we should respond to God's voice and how very important that is. But in our response, we need to think about this, that God has a listening ear. That God has a listening ear. It's a beautiful verse, this. I love this verse. Found in Psalm chapter 18, verse number 6. And with this I finish. In my distress, says the psalmist, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Even to his ears. You know, there was a time when I made a cry, to heaven, upwards to the Lord, and my cry came to his ears. My cry came to his ears. And he responded to me, and he came in and he saved me. And I just wonder tonight, or this afternoon, if each and every one of us has made a cry to the Lord, and our cry has gone up to him, and it's gone past his ears, and it's caught his attention, and he stopped, and he saved you, and he's come into your life. Oh, our prayer is that each and every one of us would have done that. Our prayer is really that we would indeed hear God's voice, that our ears would be opened, like that man in the verses in which we read, that our ears would be opened to God's voice, that God's voice would come in, and it would just flood its way down through our hearts and our minds and our souls and grip our very being, and that we would make the appropriate response, that we would respond to God's voice and open up our heart's door, hear his voice, and let him come in and let him sup with each and every one of us. He has a listening ear, and his ear is open, and his ear is waiting for each and every one of our responses. I wonder where we are this afternoon. Just a few simple thoughts really, just on listening for God's voice in our lives. So very important in these days. We don't know what another day is going to bring. We don't know what another week's going to bring. How important it is just to be right before an almighty God. Shall we pray?